We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello.
Hello. Yep.
Is this Charles?
Yep.
Okay, I have.
Okay.
Charles, here's Ron.
All right.
Hello.
Hi, Ron.
Hello.
Yes, hi. Sorry about the technical issues before.
Good. Okay, good.
Okay, so I'm recording for use on the air. You're okay with that, I presume?
Absolutely, of course.
All right, so let's start off, because I want to know about the TV show. I also want to move on in the time we have a little bit about politics, but let's talk about 68 Whiskey, which sounds like something I once had at a bar a long time ago. What is 68 Whiskey?
68 Whiskey is a show based on a group of medics in Afghanistan, United States medics, and so, you know, that's 68 Whiskey is the military occupational specialty code for the U.S. Army's Combat Medic Corps, and so that's hence the title. The show isn't based on true stories, but it's meant to be very, very authentic and very humanizing, I think, in the way that it sort of – I was actually talking to one guy from the military, and he said, just because you go through intense training and are under this kind of duress doesn't mean you forget where you came from, lose your individuality and your sense of yourself. And I think this show acknowledges that and kind of celebrates it, because this is a group of individuals, very diverse group from all corners of the country, and they're there because they've chosen to be. Some with that kind of noble sense of purpose of wanting to take care of our troops and do everything that they can to help in the effort, and maybe others because they're running from something. But whatever the case, they're a community under duress with dangerous, emotionally charged jobs to do. And how do they cope with that?
It sounds, I mean, you and I think, grew up during a time when the big hit on television, on CBS in those days, of course, was MASH, which took place in Korea, although in some ways it was a metaphor for the Vietnam War that was going on at the same time. This sounds a little bit like a 2020 version of MASH.
Yeah. There are elements of it that certainly can be related to that. I suppose the way you could relate, you know, police and detective or medical shows to other shows in the past as well. And yeah, it uses the kind of irony of trying to save life in an environment where life is constantly being threatened, and the absurdity of that circumstance sometimes. But one of the big differences that Roberto Benabib, who created the show and, you know, whose passion project this is, a defining difference for him was, again, back to the idea that these are people who have chosen to be there. They think it's a solution for something. It means something. And in MASH, it was a bunch of people who had been drafted outside of a couple of officers, and so that was a half hour sitcom, using that absurdity front and center to be as funny as it possibly could be, with some ideas woven in. This is much more immersive. This is about people who have chosen to be in a place, and have found it to be, you know, incredibly trying and emotionally dangerous at times, and yet, you know, they have each other and they have this higher purpose, because for whatever reason that they chose to be there, they have a hell of a job to do, and it's an important one.
And the show can be seen
job of service.
Okay, and the show can be seen where and when?
On Paramount Network and anywhere where the Paramount Network can be seen, you can stream. Paramount Network is making some pretty bold programming moves as they're building building out that platform. Chris Paramount's where Happy Days was done, and it's also the company that owns all the episodes of the Andy Griffith Show. So I've made directed movies for Paramount, so it's kind of fun to be back, with them. But this experiment is pretty bold, and one of the things that they really want, one of the mandates from the Paramount Network, is that they want their shows. Their other big hit is with Kevin Costner, Yellowstone, and it is to be immersive. They really want to transport audiences in a very cinematic way, and so again, that differentiates a lot from a show like MASH, because we are really throwing the audiences in there in a very honest, sometimes intense way.
Okay, I want to move on a little bit to politics, because we've had Rob Reiner on the show a couple of times. He's been up to the studio, and when I think about, a guy who's really immersed and very vocal about politics, Rob Reiner does come to mind. I guess I don't think of you, or I hadn't thought of you in that kind of mold, but in looking at this this tweet that you put out, I think it was in response to somebody else's tweet, you're right. And just so that our audience knows, it's very fast read. It says, this is you, in the entertainment industry, many who have known and worked with Trump think that while his reality show was fun and ran a long time, he's a self-serving, dishonest, morally bankrupt egomaniac who doesn't care about anything or anyone but his fame and bank account and is hustling the U.S. Those are pretty strong words from Ron Howard.
Well, yeah, they are. I mean, it's very personal, and with an answer to a question, which was, why do so many people from Hollywood seem critical of the president? In my world, whether it's and around the entertainment business, and let's be honest, he comes from the entertainment world, not first and foremost, but that's he's really elevated his name through that. I also live on the East Coast, and in the Wall Street world, just the honest answer is you don't run into people who have anything good to say about him as a person, and their dealings with him. And so politics aside, it's kind of I was sort of reflecting, what I have heard about his character. I've met him a couple of times. I've never had any business dealings with him. I found him, funny and a good host and kind of an audacious personality at the times that I met with him. He was a promoter, an entrepreneur.
You're a filmmaker, of course. And a lot of the people out there, clearly like President Trump. That's why he did get millions of votes. Do you worry? Do you worry that when you express very clear and in this case very acerbic views, political views, that it somehow is going to alienate some of the people who might otherwise want to come and see your film?
Oh yeah. But I do think it's a time of I think it's important to think about these things and to have an opinion. And so basically, again, I'm not volunteering a lot of opinions or comments about policy. But that was it was a very direct question that I thought, I honestly have an answer here. Do I have just based on my personal experience? But I'm not one of those people that feels like, if you're in the entertainment world, you have no right to speak up. But of course you could, it could be alienating. And that's a factor. Andy Griffith once said to me, I once did a video. It's when Barack Obama was running for office, and it wasn't really a pro Obama ad per se, but we did this thing to sort of get out the vote, and Andy Griffith did it with me, and Henry Winkler did it. We went into our old characters and talked about the importance of getting out and voting and so forth, and I said, well, this could be kind of upsetting, Andy, and he said, well, we're citizens first, and you know, and I think we have to recognize that every once in a while, you know, you're not going to make a decision. You're not going to make everybody happy.
Charles, I got to jump.
Yeah, Ron, I think we're running way past the time. But listen, the next time you're in L.A., we'd love to have you come up to the studio and we could sit down and talk about Hollywood and all kinds of other stuff.
Okay, great.
All right. Thank you.